In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What happened at that tomb? It seemed perhaps a small thing. It was confined in time and location. The location, a particular day, a particular tomb. Nothing remarkable about that. Point in time, a particular day at the dawn of the first day of the week, the third day after a certain man had been executed by crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. A confined location, a confined time, the crucified one on the first day of the week walks out of the tomb alive. Death swallowed up in life in the person of Jesus. But the particularity of it. It was done by a particular man at a particular time on a particular day. It's no normal thing, this resurrection of a dead man? But will it matter for others? Will this particular name and life be known by the philosophers in Athens? Will it matter for the farmer in Macedonia? How will it help the sinner in Eldersburg, Baltimore, or even in Brazil? Isaiah today gives a universal, all-encompassing traverse of the resurrection. It is the resurrection of a particular man on a particular day at a particular grave. But the resurrection, this defeat of death, bursts every boundary of peoples and nation. The resurrection victory of this man is for all sinners and for each sinner. The resurrection victory of this man is for all sinners and for each sinner. This victory is for every person covered in the veil of death that was cast over every person. The death veil does cover all people. No one escapes its terror. Attempts are made to soften the terror of death. Death is sometimes referred to as a natural process, or even sometimes consider a friend that comes to alleviate the suffering of this life. Or even others have thought that a person who dies a good death demonstrates virtue. However, at the end of the day, death cannot be cleaned up. Death, without the resurrection, is the total negation of life. The person is forsaken by God, the creator of life. Death is the sentence of God's law for the sinner. The law, which always accuses, leaves the sinner in the still grip of death. Isaiah 25 speaks of the universality of this terror. It's a judgment without borders. It says in verse 7, the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. In our hearts, or maybe we would say, in our guts, we know this, don't we? Maybe we try not to think much about death, even though for the past year We've been hearing about the numbers of COVID deaths every day. And death perhaps was what kept us from coming to this sanctuary last Easter. We don't like to think about it. But think about it right now. Do you like the idea? The idea of you lying under that veil that Paul draped over your casket, not seeing your wife, your husband, your mom or dad, or even your kids anymore? Think about it. Or think back when you stood over the pall-covered casket or urn of a loved one. Death, without the resurrection, is terror to all of us. The rescue from death, the victory, is the swallowing up of the veil covering all people. The people are no longer under death's blanket. And this rescue is forever. The salvation from death traverses not just all peoples and languages. It stretches backward, forward, spanning every generation. Verse 8 affirms, He will swallow up death forever. This is a full victory. The proclamation leaves no one out. The terror of death fell upon one man, Jesus. For he is the Lamb of God, the bearing the sin of the world, willingly giving himself over to death on the cross, as we remember it on Good Friday, when we nail that cross over here, remembering that our sins also nailed Jesus to the cross. He is the one who says from the cross, as he is in the still grip of death and feel all its terror, my God, why have you forsaken me? The victory is Jesus, the Lamb of God, atoning for the sin of the world by the shedding of his own holy blood, and then on the third day being raised up from the dead by the Father, never to be subject to death again. The victory is Jesus making known this defeat of death even in hell, proclaiming to the demons that their defeat was accomplished at the cross, and making him known on earth, giving himself to be seen in flesh by Cephas and the 12 and by hundreds of eyewitnesses, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. He who spoke life to the first Adam now he stands up out of the grave as the new Adam. He is risen indeed. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here, the angel said that morning. And we read in Mark 16. The one who stood up out of the grave lives up to his name, Jesus. The name Jesus is derived from the name Yahweh. The one Isaiah calls Yahweh of hosts, or our Bibles translate as Lord of hosts. Yahweh is God not of the dead, but of the living. With his name, he gives all that he is. He is the God who was, who is, and who will be. He is the God who causes all life to be. With his name comes all that he has promised. He has promised the atonement for sinners. He has promised the resurrection of the body. He has promised that this salvation is an eternal feast of victory for all peoples. So please read with me from Isaiah 25. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. This salvation is universal in the sense that the Redeemer has atoned for the sins of all. But those who walk away from the faith, from the atonement accomplished by Jesus, do not negate the atonement. For Jesus the Lord did no deficient work. Instead, those who walk away refuse Jesus' atonement and choose instead to cling to themselves, to self-justification. The location of salvation's accomplishment has particularity. It's not anywhere and everywhere generally, but it is located at a particular time and place. It is on a particular mountain, Mount Golgotha, and at a particular time under Pontius Pilate. But the salvation accomplished at a particular time and location is now delivered, not generally, not in a way that is unsure and uncertain to sinners. It is delivered in full to a particular sinner at a particular time and place in the manner specified by the Savior. The name promised by Isaiah, Yahweh of hosts, or Lord of hosts, the name crucified on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the name who defeated death, standing up out of the grave, is now the name proclaimed to the sinner. As Paul said today, I declare to you the gospel which I proclaim to you, which you also received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved. And it is the name proclaimed in the gospel. You are given the name. You now bear that name of crucifixion and resurrection. For he put it on you in your baptism. In your baptism, everything he accomplished on the cross, everything he did in breaking the bonds of death and walking out of the tomb, is now joined to you. When it's you or your loved one in that casket, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead belongs to you as surely as to Jesus, because you have been baptized into his name. You have his name. His victory over death, his righteousness is standing before the Father, his joy of eternal feast. It is your victory over death. It is your righteous standing. It is your eternal joy. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He walked out of the tomb. You do not belong to the tomb. You belong to his resurrection. So, you are risen. You are risen indeed. You know it now, by faith. And you will know it then by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.